Hi everyone, and welcome to the Wild Ginger Running YouTube channel live broadcast and podcast. Today we are talking to a personal trainer who I admire very much indeed. She has recently completed the 103-mile Five Rivers Ultra, and she just never fails to inspire me every single time I stalk her on Instagram, because her situation is often so very much like mine. She is an ultra running mum of one, like me, and she's also one of my patrons who supports the channel every month, which is incredible. Thank you. Today we are chatting to Melissa Mason. How are you doing today, Melissa?
Hi, yeah, I'm good, thank you. It feels very strange to be this side because normally I'm watching you chat to other people, so yeah, it feels really odd to be this side, but yeah, really excited to chat today.
Awesome, that's great. And everyone from the patron group especially is excited to chat to you, because you're also a patron of mine. So we've got a comment here from Caroline Janice. She says, I'm looking forward to this. Fitting in family life, work and training can be so tough. And
yes.
Don't we know it, Mel? Yeah. And today he says hi as well. I just add him. He's yeah, just watching live there. So, yeah, well, first of all, just congratulations on your 103 miles. It's all about those extra 3 miles.
Really important. 103.
Very important. That can be a whole nother hour, can't it be, at that stage? Yeah. And, well, at any stage, really. The Five Rivers Ultra. So, so first of all, how does that feel to get that one under your belt?
Yeah, amazing. That was my first longest journey. I really didn't know how to finish it. It was uncharted territory. I didn't know how it was going to go. I had kind of no idea how I was going to do it, if I was going to do it. So the fact that I did is just, I still feel like, it was over a month ago now, and I'm still kind of on a high from it. So yeah, really, really great.
Amazing. And so did you say that was your first 100?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, I had done the furthest I'd done. I'd done like a 24-hour race, a local one, and I'd done, I think, 81 miles I'd done for that one. So that was previously the furthest that I had gone.
Yeah, brilliant. So stepping up, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to, just before we get more into the 100 miler, let's wind the clock back to find out a little bit more about what makes you tick. I obviously wrote that when I had some sleep yesterday. How did you get into running in the first place? Because hopefully presumably you didn't just dive straight into the ultra running. How did you start?
So I guess I've always liked running at school, and then in my sort of late teens, 20s, I always did run. I'm just trying to think. I think, yeah, maybe I started with the Great North Run, so half marathon. I mean, that was maybe 15, 20 years ago, and then went on to marathons, did a few marathons. And then, yeah, just basically, you know what it's like. You just want to go a little bit further, or, challenge yourself a bit more. But the ultras has only really been maybe the last 6-8 years, maybe something like that. And again, I sort of started with 40 milers, and then just went a little bit further, a little bit further, and then ended up where I am now.
Brilliant. And so you started before Audrey was born. So Audrey's your little girl. I'm just gonna pop a picture of her up on the screen, because there's a really lovely picture of you guys. This is presumably after the Five Rivers, or it could be on the way. It's outside a house and you're holding a banana in the air like this, and you're both
before I started. I definitely didn't look that fresh
afterwards. Oh, but it's a lovely, lovely picture, and she seems to have been fully involved in it, and just really taken on board what you're up to. How old is she now? Because you would have started before she was born.
Yeah, so she just turned 4 a couple of weeks ago. And especially the last couple of years, now that she's that little bit older and she can kind of understand what's going on, my husband brings her along to any of the races that I do, and she just gets really excited, and she likes just waving at everybody. And this year they made me a sign and held a sign at at the different aid stations that they saw me, and she just loves it. It's really nice. It's a weekend away, basically, whenever we do anything like this. My husband's really great, really supportive, and obviously meets me along different stages, and so does she. And yeah, it's just like a family weekend away, it just makes it even more fun, than it already is. So it's really, we like to do it. We like to do it together.
Oh, that's really lovely to be able to involve her because Finley's at the stage now where, well, he's two and a half nearly, so he just doesn't understand anything. And, you know, he just wants to be in a playground. It doesn't matter where the playground is, he wants to be in a playground. So if poor Steve comes along, well, we've tried like to do the stuff when when I'm doing stuff, and he just ends up babysitting all day, like... Well, not babysitting, it's his own kid. But you know, either if he was doing a bike ride, I'd end up babysitting all day. And just Finley doesn't care, and he sees mummy, he'd probably want to like run to mummy, and then he wouldn't understand why mummy was running away.
If it makes you feel any better and makes Steve feel better, because we had the similar thing, and my husband said to me this year, he was like, this is the first year that I actually like feel like we all really enjoyed it. Because the previous years, she would like, if she would see me, obviously I would run to her and then run away. And she would be like devastated, and then he'd have to spend the next hour like consoling her, and then it would happen again at the next spot. And you know, she would just get bored. And so he said this year like is the first like proper year where he's felt like he can meet me at lots of different stops, and she's happy and enjoying herself as well. So it does get easier, I promise.
Yeah, oh, that's really good to know. I think yeah, it might get easier, and yeah, Finley will get more into it as we get
exactly.
on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's good to know. So that's really nice. And I've seen on your Instagram as well, you've got Audrey into doing fitness as well because you're a personal trainer. And there was a really cute video a little while ago of you saying to Audrey, oh, why don't you teach mummy? And she was doing all these things with the weights.
Yeah,
she was up
yeah.
and down with the weights, out and back, and like lunging and walking around with all the weights. And yeah. How have you achieved that? Because every time I try and do a workout with Finley, he just like grabs it all off me. Like I've got these five different coloured resistance bands. He will just end up with all of them around his legs and pinging them and flicking me. And if I had weights, oh my goodness, he would just pick it up and maybe even throw it. And so, yeah, well, how did that come about?
So basically, it's all she's ever known, really, because For those people that don't know, I am a personal trainer and specialise in pre and postnatal ladies. Okay, so I'll go to their homes and they might have small children there, and you know we work out because obviously it's hard to get childcare sometimes. So I take all the equipment to them to their home so that they don't need to throw the babies about. And I also used to be a preschool teacher as well, so it's quite lovely marrying the two together. So it might be that sometimes I'm there like rocking the baby or feeding the kid or, you know, whatever, chasing after the kid whilst also instructing the mother. So she's always kind of come with me to these things. And actually during COVID, she was only, during the first lockdown, she was probably like 7 or 8 months old. So I used to do like a Facebook Live to my clients. So I just in the living room, just did like 20 minutes every weekday of exercise. So she would be in the room always watching me, you know, and as she's got older, she's like just started to copy me and join in. The dumbbells that she has are literally half a kilo. So they're not like...
I should have said that.
Her, like,
yeah, they look...
swinging kettlebells around.
Yeah,
they look very light. Little tiny ones. And I've just basically taught her the safety of them, you know, that we don't throw them, we be careful, you know, we wear shoes so that we don't drop them on our toes. I mean, don't get me wrong, sometimes there are accidents, and sometimes sometimes it's chaos. Sometimes she is flinging the exercise bands around the room, and, you know, it can be absolute chaos. But it's just about just instilling those values and also the safety, like this is how we use this. We bend our knees when we pick this up, and just modelling, modelling so many times because she's seen it when I've done it with clients. You know, she is at nursery, but she does occasionally come with me to clients' homes as well, so she's seeing it there. And also because I'm doing it myself as well at home for my own fitness. So again, she's just like around it all the time. So I guess like she's just got used to it. But yeah, again, if it makes you feel better, sometimes it's absolute chaos. Sometimes I have to just stop after 5 minutes because we're both like, it's too stressful, or you know, yeah, someone's dropped something on their toe or whatever. So it isn't always like as perfect as as Instagram, as you know it's very one-sided on Instagram.
It's just
constant modeling basically, and just trying to, you know, make it fun as well. If she's not, you know, if sometimes she's getting really bored with me whatever I'm doing, then like that, as you said about that Instagram post, I said to her, right, okay, you show me, what do you want me to do? You know, and it might be something really stupid that really isn't like benefiting me massively, but it's still movement, so I just go with it. So you have to kind of just put things to the side and just be like, okay, it's not happening today, we'll just do a bit of movement. Even sometimes I just stick a bit of like kids cosmic yoga on YouTube and we just do that, and I'm sat there thinking, oh, I should be like lifting this, I should be doing that, but oh well, it's not happening today. So you kind of just have to like adapt. Go with the flow sometimes.
I think it's brilliant that you even fit something in, because exactly, I just don't do anything at the moment. And I just, like, when I've got Finley, like, I only have him on a Monday, Tuesday to Friday he's in childcare, but every Monday I'm just like, how would I feel motivated enough and not tired enough? Like, in his nap on a Monday, I often have to go back to sleep because I'm just really tired.
How am I going to do it this afternoon?
I need to do one this afternoon, but he won't be here, so it'll be easy for me. But I need to motivate myself to do one this afternoon.
it's really hard. And like sometimes, some days I'm the same. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I've been up for 2 hours in the night. I just can't do it. I think it's like just finding what works for you best. So for me, early mornings do work best. Because otherwise, by like lunchtime, if I have been up in the night or I've been up super, super early, I'm tired. It's like, you know, if by 10 o'clock I'm like, oh, it's my bedtime, you know, I'm done. And then there's way more excuses, not even excuses, but real reasons then present themselves to you. So I just like to get it done in the morning, because it's really hard for me to do it later in the day or after. I mean, these people that do stuff after their kids go to bed, I mean, they're my heroes, because I'm like, you know, she goes to bed at like 7:30 and then by 8 o'clock I'm ready to go as well. So these people that do stuff late at night, like they're my champions.
I know, because Sophie Power said to me, she's the She Racist campaigner activist, she says 8 till 11 p.m. is her time when once the kids are in bed. She goes to work, and I'm like, what? That's the last thing I want to do. The only thing I could do is watch an hour of telly or go on a walk. Like, that's the only thing I could do. And Finley often isn't even asleep until 8 o'clock. So then, you know, by the time you've got out of his room and sorted the kitchen, it's 8:30, and then it's 9:00, and then it's bedtime. It's like,
I know,
no time.
I'm exactly the same. Yeah. I'm exactly the same. But it's just finding what works for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it does take a bit of motivation. You know, I quite often say to people, like, if you want it enough, come on. If you want to see results, then you make that time. If you've got the same amount of time, you need to, you know, find what works for you and use it. But on the other side of that, also be kind to yourself. It doesn't work every time, and sometimes you need to go back to bed.
Well, I did go back to bed this morning. And I've been out for a couple of hours for the last 3 nights now, so that's been a joy. I also went to a party at the weekend, so you know, like all the times when you do organize childcare, it's for a thing like a wedding or a 40th, and then you're up till midnight anyway, and then you're up at 6 because you always wake up at 6 because that's a lie in these days. So so I've shot myself in the foot there. Maybe should book some time off when I'm actually just here and just have a nice evening and sleep. And I was just saying to Steve, you know, the Radio 1 Big Weekend is a festival. Mum and Dad have got Finley that weekend. We could go to it. And he was like, well, maybe we could just not and just sleep. And I was like, actually, that's a good plan. These days, that is a good plan. So that's really fantastic. I just think it's so nice how you're involving Audrey in the fitness. I think that's really important, because I've been trying to do it away from Finley, just because it's really difficult to do it with Finley. So I think now I have the inspiration from you to do a bit more with him.
It's really good for them as well. It's a big part of my business and what I do, because, you know, let's make exercise something that they know from a very early age. And so it's not a chore, it's fun, and it's just something that we build into our day. And, you know, it doesn't have to be high intensity, like, you know, sweating and putting too much stress on your body. It can just be any form of movement, and just trying to make it more fun and instilling those values into children while they're young, and hopefully then, you know, as they grow older, it will just be there.
Because there is I really like the morning thing as well, and I like, if I'm doing the early morning with Vinny, I could be up from anything from like half five to then when I take him to nursery or or anything like that. So I've got from 5:30 till 8:00. So when I wasn't too sleep deprived, I was taking him in the buggy for a run just for like 45 minutes. I even did some hill reps with him the other day on Great Castleton Road with a buggy, and saw Vicky Old running to walking to work. So that was really nice. But yeah, just that tastes like this when I just wake up and then I lie on the sofa and say, oh, go and play over there, go and play like that. I think that's a day when maybe you do have to be kind to yourself, and the training is just going back to sleep, because otherwise you can't train because you've
had, well, that's it. Otherwise then you're too tired, you know, for your big training session at the weekend or whatever, you know. So it is a balance, and it's very much about listening to your body as well. We can all be a little bit lazy from time to time, you know, that's fine, that's normal. But also the other side of it is thinking about, okay, I am absolutely hooked, you know, I've been up, like you say, like the last three nights for, you know, for a couple of hours at a time. So it's just
And then up early as well, like then up at 5:30. Yeah. So I think that's it. You just don't catch up.
Yeah.
And I hadn't napped in the day any other day. So with that in mind, and you increasing the distance since Audrey's been born, how did you personally fit it in?
So I still, when I look at other people, and you shouldn't compare yourself to other people, but of course we all do. You know, in the lead up to my 100-mile race, you know, looking at other people on a forum that were doing the same race, their training, I was not doing as much training. Okay, so that's the first thing I'll say. And I have, you know, perhaps I could have if I pushed myself even further, but I think it would have burnt me out personally. So I just do what I can. I fit in what I can. I'm very lucky to also, as well as being a personal trainer, I'm also a running coach. So I'm very lucky in that aspect, because I run with clients a few times a week as well. So obviously that's a really good way of getting some miles in.
Yes.
Whereas if I was like, you know, a desk job or whatever, that wouldn't happen. So that's the first thing I'll say. I'm incredibly lucky to have that.
It's not luck. Tune. That's the career path you chose. So you made your luck. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, that's like kind of, you know, a really positive tick for to help me along my way. And also I have a really supportive husband as well. So at the weekend, you know, normally Sunday is my long run day. So, you know, I'd be doing, you know, anything between sort of 20 and 30 mile long run. So that gets a big chunk of it done as well. But just, I mean, you know, I always find I write myself a training plan. I stick it on the fridge and I highlight it when it's done, because just like mentally, that makes me go out and do it. You know, I want to see all my, you know, and sometimes, of course, they're not all highlighted, of course.
Yeah.
But I just like that. That just is a really good way of motivating myself to get out. But what I really have found in the last like 3 or 4 years since I've been a personal trainer is the strength and conditioning really helps. I feel that you don't need to run as much as you feel, as much as you think you do, if you're putting in that strength and conditioning. It's made me get way less injuries. I'm so much stronger, you know, faster runner, can go further, recovered so much. So it's, I can't believe how well I recovered afterwards, to be honest. And I think that's a massive part, because I can do the strength and conditioning when I'm here and I've got Audrey, whereas I can't always just go out for a run, because, you know, I have to juggle like childcare and that kind of thing. So that's been something that's been really, really beneficial, is the strength and conditioning, and trying not to worry too much, like, oh, I haven't ran as much as these people. Well, that's okay, because you've done what you can do, but you've also done all this strength and conditioning, and it's just crazy how much it benefits you. So that's like a really top tip, I would say.
Brilliant.
For me.
And so what take us through one of your sessions, like what do you do, or do you make them different every time, or are there certain exercises that you're like, right, I must always do this once a week?
So I actually, even as a personal trainer, I like to follow someone else's program. I make myself little bits here and there, but I need some structure and I need some accountability. Mm-hmm. So I actually follow Carla Molinaro. I can never say her name.
Molinaro. Yes.
SEY for runners. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that since about October. So what that basically incorporates is 1 30-minute yoga. I say yoga, it's not maybe yoga as you would know it. It's more like stretching and focusing on the key areas that you use as a runner. So one 30-minute session of that a week. And then there's also a 30 to 45-minute session that's focused predominantly on just your strength and conditioning. So I do that every week, one of those each a week. And then I just make myself up. Like, I tend to, because of, you know, being busy and having orders to look after, rather than trying to set myself to go and do an hour of something, you know, every couple of days,
yeah,
I do like 20 minutes most days. So it'll be like, I just make something up, 20 minutes core once a week, 20 minutes arms, upper body, 20 minutes roughly a week, and then another 20 minutes a week of lower body that I just kind of make up myself.
Yeah.
I don't really put that, it's not really a structure, I just kind of make it up as I go along, yeah, basically with those. And then, yeah, with along with the stuff from Carla as well. So I am, you know, doing something every day, basically.
Every day.
But it is only like 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Now so I just find it that bit doable.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, if someone was to say to me, you know, right, can you do four times one hour sessions, you know, over the next 7 days? For me, that's just not. No, it's not going to happen. It's too much. It'd mean me getting up even earlier in the morning. Yes, it might mean that one of the other mornings I can have a bit of a lie in if I get it all done in one. But it's just not how I work personally.
Yeah.
So yeah, I tend to get up a little bit earlier and just do 20 minutes or 30 minutes of a morning. And like I said before, I'm very honest and try and keep things realistic. Some mornings after 10 minutes, Audrey wakes up and she comes down and she jumps on my back and then she falls off and then she's crying and, you know, and that's it. I'm like, right, I've done 10 minutes. Annoying, but let's move on and we'll try again tomorrow kind of thing, you know, and that's it. We move on, we forget that session. I don't try and then do the rest of the session later in the day or add it on tomorrow's. No, that is it. I've done what I can. Move on, start again tomorrow. So that's kind of my mentality with it. So it is quite a busy week. You know, on my training for the plan, there is like quite a few different things going on, but it's all small and manageable.
Yeah, and now that does make it sound more manageable, because I'm thinking like, if I haven't got a half hour or 45 minutes, then it's not worth doing.
Yeah.
So I really need to like, maybe, I can't get the weights out because then Finny will play with them, but I need to have the weights in an easy access place, like in the cupboard under the stairs or something.
Yeah.
And just get them out. And so would you be using like really heavy weights? Because the thing that also puts me off is the fact that like, I've been told that for it to be proper strength training that actually makes a difference, you have to use like quite heavy weights and only do like 6 to 8 reps. I don't have that. I don't have those weights. Well, Steve does in the garage, and I just like the key to the garage, the getting across the lawn, the getting in the garage, the finding them somewhere behind the all the bikes and all the Zwift. It's like, oh, I can't. And also, it's really uncomfortable, the bar thing. So do I need to use really heavy weights to do this?
In my opinion, no. I mean, I'm not a member of a gym. I just obviously I have all my own kit from being a personal trainer. But personally, I don't use super heavy weights. We don't really have room for a proper like squat rack or, you know, barbell or anything. I do have a barbell, but I very, very rarely use it. I just use free weights, you know, and when I first started, particularly the upper body, 2 kilo weights, that was me. Like I could not lift anything else. I can do, I'm on to sort of 6s, 8s now at a push, but that's taken me years to build up. I'm never going to be super, super strong in my shoulders and my arms. You know, I use slightly heavier, I use kettlebells a lot for lower body because they're easier to use and for a heavier weight, you know, 12s, 15s. But for me, that has really, really worked. I'm sure if I kept working and I got some heavier weights and I kept pushing and obviously progressive overload, I could get stronger. But for me, for storage and, you know, what works for me, those kind of weights, yeah, are perfect. And I still see, you know, progression. You know, also, we can't all afford to be buying all these like heavy weights. So what I tend to do, and I do this with my clients as well, if we get to, you know, a weight and it's becoming easy, then we just do more reps. That's such a simple way of getting around that problem. You know, you do more reps and then you see more definition, you get stronger. So, yes, to some degree, you know, you use bigger weights, you're going to get stronger, of course. But actually using the smaller weights and doing more reps, that's going to really help your endurance more. You know, yes, bigger weights are going to build your muscles. Agreed, but using the smaller weights and doing more repetitions, you're going to really build your endurance, which of course for what we do, that's what we need. So
it's perfect,
part of what we need anyway. So So yeah, that's kind of what I tend to do, and it really works for me.
Yeah.
So.
And do you ever fill a backpack with a load of tins or anything and use a backpack just to sort of simulate where that weight is, or is so, that not something that's
Do you know,
needed?
I haven't, because I remember a while back you saying about you had like a concrete, like
I had a sack
thing,
of concrete in
time,
my backpack. Yeah.
At the time I was like, that's such a good idea. I mean, all the time when I run with clients, I always carry my ultra backpack with me all the time, because I carry first aid kit, an emergency blanket, et cetera, just for safety. I mean, I've never had to use it, but I always carry it. So I'm very used to having weight on my back, but it's not super heavy weight, obviously, but a couple of things, water, first aid kit, emergency blanket. So I've always kind of got used to that. So actually then when I do go and run an ultra, obviously there's more stuff in there then, but it never feels too bad.
Yeah.
And the last few long runs that I do before an event, I'll run with a full pack like I would.
Yeah.
I'll recreate what I do on race day. So
yeah.
I think that's really beneficial. But no, I've heard a lot of people, and I need to do it, just saying that, you know, going hiking, you know, especially also, you know, if you've got a little one with you and you can't get rid of them, that sounds awful, get rid of them, but, you know, you have to take them with you. I think Sophie Power said about this, like just going for a long walk or a hike with the weighted backpack or even the child on your back at times, which happens, you know, when they get tired legs, then that's just really great training. And it doesn't, you know, like I said before, it's not all about getting, you know, these masses and masses of miles into your training week. You can do it in other ways. So I'm a real, big believer in that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're doing little bits and bobs all the time, aren't we?
Yeah,
exactly. As mums.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so Severin is watching live as well, and she says, this is very motivating. I'm already trying to do 5 minutes of chores first thing in the morning, but adding 10 minutes of strength sounds like a win. Yeah, I would agree. That sounds like a really good idea.
Always go for the exercise over the tidying the house.
Oh, yes. Ditch the 5 minutes of chores, Severin, and just go for the 10 minutes of exercise.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just procrastinating. Like,
yeah.
I just don't want to do the housework, so I just, like,
yeah.
Just sit instead.
Yeah, I suppose you could do the housework with a weighted backpack on. You could do the vacuuming.
Yeah.
You could tie weights to the vacuum cleaner pole and, like, just shove it around like that. I've been putting off the vacuuming. I'm like, oh, it's too hot at the moment to do vacuuming.
Yeah.
It'll overheat. It won't be able to cope. So I just wanted to just talk a little bit about the 100 miler, just because I feel like we've got a bit of a sense of how you've trained for it now. But first I wanted to ask you, like, what do you like? What made you sign up for 100 miles in the first place? Because I did see that you said maybe this could be your distance, so that's really exciting. Yeah, what drew you to the 100 miles?
So, I mean, it was just kind of like a natural progression, I guess. Like, I like to challenge myself. You know, I'd done a 70 miler, then, like I said, I did this 24-hour race, did about 80 miles. So it was, you know, it was just the natural progression. Do you know what? Like, in some ways, I'm quite an extrovert, but in other ways, I really just like my own company. I like, I like just being by myself, you know, and I had been doing 100 miler, especially the one that I did was a very small one. So it was very kind of lonely, but I liked that. Like, I love being by myself. You know, a whole like day away of being a mother, like, as much as I love it at times, you know, sometimes I joke with friends, I'm like, I'm literally like, why do you run so much? I'm like, running away from my family. I'm literally
But it is easier. I did the UTS 50K and people were like, oh my God, like, your film made it look like you were just having a great time, so zen, so easy. And I was like, but it was.
Yeah,
that is easier than a day at home with Finley, to be honest.
You know, it was lovely, like a whole day by myself. I listened to so many podcasts and, you know, music and stuff, and saw, you know, most ultras are in a picturesque setting. So, you know, you see these lovely sights. You make friends along the way, you have a bit of a chat, you know, you get to eat all day.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah.
And that's it. And so I, just progressed to 100 and I loved it. I you know, obviously there were a couple of dark times where I was in pain and I was tired and things like that. But actually on the whole, I just had such an amazing day. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So I did say maybe this is, you know, maybe this is my distance. I've already got like a couple more, I haven't booked them yet, but a couple more 100 milers that I'd like to try in the next few months. So So yeah, I think, you know, who knows, I might do a second one and be like, oh my God, never again. But
yeah,
I had a really good experience on the first one.
Amazing. That's so good that you had such a good experience on the first one. I've just been like on social media, I can see that the South Downs Way 100 has just happened, and it was on a really, really hot weekend. So that was, that looked really, really tough, and some people were like DNFing that, and it's not it's not probably because they couldn't do 100 miles, but no. They just,
it's tough when it's hot.
Yeah, really hot. Tough. So the time of year that you did that one, the Five Rivers Ultra, that was
beginning of May.
Yeah, so that was a really
warm.
Good time to do it.
It was muggy, but then it rained, so yeah. It was perfect because then it cooled us off for a bit. So. Yeah.
What was the course like? Because I haven't heard of that one. Is it a new one, or is it just really low key?
It was only its second year.
Okay.
And it was just a very small like race company that organised it. And it started in Harwich, which is in Essex. It's like the boat port. Not many people know it. Near like Folkestone, around that area.
Yeah, I actually cycled there from Peterborough one year because I got the ferry to the Hook of Holland.
Okay.
And then we cycled to the beer fest in Munich a long time ago.
Yeah. So yeah, it starts in Harwich, and it basically weaves its way in and out of the Five Rivers, hence the name, in and out up north. And then you basically finish... I can't even remember the name, but a tiny little village, like just a little pub in this tiny little village in Suffolk. The kind of terrain, it was really flat, to be honest, like a couple of hills, but like relatively flat. That's kind of a reason why I chose it, because I was like, oh, I don't want to like, I'm not really, I really want to get into a bit more of like hill running, mountain running, but I haven't got a lot of experience. And I thought, for my first 100, let's just stick to what I know. And it was really beautiful because, like I said, you're weaving in and out of these rivers and estuaries, so there's a lot of wildlife, and it was just beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
But it did get a tad boring because it was like just flat the whole way.
Yeah.
And you were basically up high on riverbanks for the whole time.
Yeah.
So after a while, it did get a bit samey. It was beautiful in the beginning, but then by the end, I mean, I think the last 12 miles was basically, well, out of the last 12 miles, 8 miles were just on a riverbank straight.
Yeah, so quite
everything looked the same.
Really straight, yeah. Yeah.
So that was really tough. And it was on these riverbanks, it was knee high grass or even thigh high grass and stinging nettles. And so I got lots of bites and stings. So it was a bit tough in that respect.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was beautiful. Like, I don't want to do it down. It was really, really lovely. But someone said to me, would you do that one again? I was like, no, I can never look at that scenery ever again.
I know what you mean. Because, I've run around there. There's the Round Norfolk Relay, isn't there, that goes all the way around Norfolk. And I've done that a few times. And the amount of times I've been just running on a levee, just by a canal, like the sea or estuary, and it's just straight for miles. And I'm like, I personally hate running straight. And it sounds like it was quite runnable if it's not too hilly. And I don't think that would be my cup of tea. I like to just, how much of it do you think you were running percentage wise?
I think I ran about 75% of it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be for me. I'd like to run like, I'd like to walk 75% of it.
Yeah, it was runnable. But yeah, it just got a bit, it was a bit samey towards the end, you know, when your brain's starting to give up and it's like, you know, saying you need to stop now. And then it's just like this dead straight pan road in front of you. It was a bit rough.
Yeah, but that's all good mental training, just like you were saying about the sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what you mean about the sleep deprivation, because yes, I had a little nap this morning because I just got to that point. But when I'm, you know, thinking about the Lakeland 50 that I'm attempting in late July, I'll finish presumably at about like 2 or 3 in the morning even.
Yeah.
And I'm not even worried about that bit. I'm just like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. that's not even an issue.
I was quite nervous about going into like the nighttime stage of the race.
Yeah.
And how I would be, because I had actually, even when I did the 24-hour race, it was like loops. So I actually dived into my tent in the middle of the night for a couple of hours and then got back up and carried on when I did that. So I had never just gone straight through.
Yeah.
And I was really nervous about it, but it was actually fine. Like, I just put some music in, you know, put my head torch on and off I went. And actually, it was quite nice because it was dark. I couldn't see the scenery, which was obviously the same old scenery. So it's kind of like, that was quite a good like thing in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was absolutely fine. It was only, yeah, like I said, the last like 12 miles, I basically didn't eat enough through the night, which is really not like me because I eat like all the time. I eat and I eat and I eat all the time. I never have to kind of remind myself. But I think all of the aid stations along the way all had the same food. There was one stop that had hot food, but the rest was like crisps, sweets, chocolate, all, and it was all the same, like make and everything. And I think, you know, I didn't eat any like, that is real food, but I didn't eat like a sandwich or, yeah, you know, I hadn't eaten anything since like the night, like my tea time the night before.
Yeah.
And then it got to like 8 o'clock in the morning and I was, I only had 12 miles to go. And I was like, great. I'm doing 10 minute miles. Like, I'll see you in 2 hours at the finish. And it took me 4 hours because I just fell apart because I was like, oh my God, yeah, I've got nothing in me. Like,
yeah.
And I was kind of sick of the sight of the same types of packets of crisps and chocolate bars, so I wasn't taking them in.
Yeah.
But I needed to have had like just a sandwich or something more wholesome, you know, to keep me going. So yeah, that was like a little bit of a mistake I made. But
delivery pizza.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? And some ultras do give you pizza, don't they? I need to find one of those.
That, I take pizza. Pizza's like my food in ultras, but sometimes it gets really dry. So I don't know. I think this is the issue.
I do take my own food, but by like the next morning, I had already like gone through it all.
Yeah.
So I literally had nothing left. I don't really do gels. Like, I have a couple of emergency ones in my bag in case I feel really poorly, but I need real food.
Yeah.
Gels just don't really do it for me. So yeah, next time I need to be more prepared or get someone to meet, because my husband met me just before I went down.
Yeah, I was going to say, Robin could have got you a pizza.
Yeah, like I should have just got him to bring me something, but I think I got a little bit too comfortable. I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 2 hours. Like, I'm still doing 10 minute miles. Woo. Like, and then, yeah, it was like, crash. But lesson learned, you know, like, it was new, like I say, new territory. Lesson learned, and I feel like I can do much better next time because of these lessons that I've learned, so it's good.
Yeah. And which ones are you thinking about next time then?
So there's one nearby to us called the Robin Hood 100.
Okay. Ooh, tell me more.
So I really, yeah, that's in September though, and I'm a bit like, oh,
is that too soon, do you think?
Soon. Yeah. I don't know. I've actually got Race to the Stones in 3 weekends time.
Yeah.
So that's 100 kilometers, and I haven't really been training much because I've obviously had a bit of a rest like over after the race, and then I also picked up like a really random Achilles injury.
Yeah.
So I had to have like 2 weeks off running just about. And that feels absolutely fine now. I think I was erring on the side of caution, but I was really worried of like making it too bad. So I've just really kind of, you know, come off the running a little bit. I've been doing yoga, been doing 30 days of yoga just to try and challenge me in a different way. I'm kind of ready to like get back to it. But yeah, Race to the Stones is only like 3 weeks away. And I'm like, oh my God, I've only ran like 50 miles in like the last month. So we'll see. I'm just going to go for a day out.
Yeah.
Go for a walk and do a bit of running if I want to. Do lots of eating. That's kind of what I'm going to do, because I never say to any of my clients, don't do it,
yeah,
unless they're at risk of injuring themselves. Yeah, but as long as you can chuck the ego aside and
just go for a nice day. I mean, yeah.
But I'm going to do that
one. Go for a nice day now. So is then also, Audrey and Robin going to be there, like, supporting
me? They're
going to
come along for an adventure weekend again as well.
Yeah.
But next year there is the Grim Reaper, which again is close to us, guys. I actually marshalled on that because that was only a couple of weeks after my 100-mile race. So I marshalled that this year. So I'm going to take part in that next year. And that is a lapped race. That's 10 times 10 miles. Mm-hmm. So that's next May. So I am going to definitely do that. So
but that will be the same scenery.
Yeah, I know.
You'll have to have some really good podcasts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, that's going to be definitely in the diary for next year. But I definitely, there's so many. You know, I'd like to do the late
so
end. So many I'd like to do, and like I said, I want to get into a bit more of the hill running, the mountain running. So who knows?
Is the Robin Hood one a lapped one as well in some form? I'm sure I looked at that.
Is it two laps
of a 50 or something like that?
Yeah. So I think it's not quite. I think you kind of do one lap and then you do like half of the lap again and add another little bit or something.
Oh okay.
I think when I was looking at it, but yeah, so I quite fancy that one as well. But yeah, I just don't know, it might not be too soon, who knows.
Yeah, you could just always go and see, and if you don't make it, it's just a good 80-mile training run, isn't it?
That's it. That yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I just go with it now, because before I had Audrey, I attempted. I don't know if people have heard of the Wall, which is a race by
Adrian's Wall.
Yes, so I did that, and it took me 3 attempts. First two attempts didn't finish. Then I had Audrey, had a year off, and then I went back, and then I completed it. And I think, I just, to anyone else that has like an experience like that, you know, I just think just go with it. You know, I still, each time I did it, I ran about 60 miles still, the first two DNFs. So, you know, of course I was gutted at the time, but I always say to people, doesn't matter. You got there, like to the start line. That's a massive thing, you know, with all the training. And then it's just a day out. And yeah, if it becomes just a 60-mile run, it's a 60-mile run. Doesn't matter that you don't get the medal at the end, you know, as getting as that can be sometimes. So yeah, and I definitely think that's down to, you know, doing it the third time is definitely being a mother. It makes you strong.
Really?
It makes you know how to carry on when you are absolutely shattered.
I think it's the opposite. I feel like weaker now I'm a mum. I give up way easier because I'm just like, oh, I can't even do this.
for me, I used to, before I had Audrey, I trained, but I never trained as hard as I do now. It was always like too easy to go to the pub or, you know, like go partying or, you know, my priorities were a little bit different. But since having her, I'm just more like, I want to be strong for her. I want to show her like what we as women can achieve.
Yeah.
And I just think that, I'm just mentally strong. I quite often just think like, you've given birth to a child. Get on with it. This is just a run. Like, you can do it. You know, you've been through labor, you've been through pregnancy, like rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
And that is kind of a few of the random thoughts that just go around my head when I'm running. So for me personally, definitely it's made me a lot stronger.
Yeah, you've doubled down on your endurance and your resistance.
Yeah.
I've just gone the other way and I've just gone, I'm too tired. I'm either too tired or I've got a cold. but maybe this will improve. Today I'm too tired or I've got a cold. I think it depends also what's just been happening. I've just come off like the back of like several nights of not good sleep. So at the moment I'm not feeling motivated, but I've just written down those races and I'm like, oh, Robin Hood Ultra. Oh, I have to have a look at that. So I am deep down, I'm very excited. and so I was intrigued as well about some, the race to the stone. No, not the race to the stone. It's the run across the wall, the Hadrian's Wall.
Yeah.
What made you DNF the first two times then? Is it because you got to 60 miles, isn't it? It's only like 70. Is it 70?
Yeah, no, it's 70. Yeah. I got the first year, I got to 62 miles.
Yeah,
so close.
I'm just thinking what would make you stop at that point? Because it's only a couple more hours of just walking even.
Yeah. The first time I actually fainted because it was really hot, so I had heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
So like I couldn't really help that.
Yeah.
The second year, I think I just put so much pressure on myself because I did DNF the first year.
Yeah.
But I actually DNF in exactly the same place.
Really?
Because I got to it and I lost my mind basically.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And I was so cross the next day. I was like,
why? No.
You could have just walked it. You had time. But
and
this is what I mean. My mental strength used to be
pretty
pants, to be honest.
Mine used to be really good. I've got kinder to myself as I've got older. My mental strength, I used to put up with any pain. Like 10 years ago, I did the Bob Graham round. I was like in immense pain doing that.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to labour, obviously. But I just feel like, do you know what it is? It's like I've been through labour and that was horrible. And now I just don't want to be in pain anymore. Like I've got to say to him, like, I just, why am I doing this if I'm in pain? I don't have to be in pain. I'll just go to the pub. So I've swapped with you now. that's what it is. It's the pain, and that's the thing that worries me most about Lakeland 50 is the foot pain. From the last race that I did, I was in really good shape physically, and I didn't, you know, I was fine at the end, and it wasn't hurting too much. And I was like, this is brilliant. I could go on for another one. But the feet were hurting, so I need to sort my feet out. That's going to be my, if I can ever do 100 miles, and I do want to do 100 miles next year. That's my goal for next year. I need to sort my feet out because I don't want to be in pain. Like, I don't see the point of doing something and being like, oh, I was in pain all the time.
So also,
we all feel all right.
It sounds like mentally you need to just get those like mantras going around in your head, or even I wrote them down on my phone.
Yeah.
And then when I was like struggling, I just got my phone out and I'd like read really stupid stuff, like, you know, it's not easy, otherwise everyone else would do it, and that, you know, those kind of things. I'd read it out and I was like, like, and it would like drive me on. So try that maybe.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I might write it on the back of my hand as well.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah. And oh, I've forgotten what I was just going to say.
Oh, you were saying about my feet. How are my feet?
Oh yes, your feet. How are your feet? I'm just picking at my feet now. they're so horrible.
Mine were okay. Like, cool. I've been always been really lucky. In any races that I've done, I don't tend to really get blisters. So really, really lucky. But this race, like I said in the beginning, it was quite warm, and then it really rained, and we were wet for hours. And actually, at one point, I had to climb through a ditch, like wade through a ditch, because I had gone wrong. I saw, I was following a guy like really far in the distance. I could just see his like rear light flashing, and that kind of gave me comfort. I kept following him. And then I was getting closer and closer to him. And then I like, met up with him, and he was like, do you know what? We've gone wrong. And I was oh no, checking my watch. And what we'd done is there was like a ditch, and we had gone this side of it rather than this side.
Oh,
and we were like working it out. We were like, we're going to have to go back about 3 miles to be able to get over the ditch.
No.
Because it was quite like a wide one. And he said, he was like, right, we're going to have to go through. And like, there's no way I would have done that on my own.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a very strong swimmer.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'm from Norwich, and I my training ground is around here, like Norfolk, Suffolk. And I've done this before, like, it'll be okay. Lay some reeds down, we'll make a little island, and then we'll only have to hop in for a bit. So basically that's what we did. He went in first, and the water came up to about here, and then he just pulled me like through and up out the other side. So it was very like, only a couple of seconds I was in. But then of course, feet just like totally like soggy, covered in mud. So when I got to the end, my feet were hurting like the last kind of 10 miles maybe. And when I finished, I realised that I had two blisters, but they were both underneath my big toenails, which like the pressure, like they were fine until the next couple of days when they like, you know, like they kind of like fill up after a couple of days. Oh. They were pushing my toenail up. So it was
my
pressure.
God. Wow.
So I actually had to like lance them just to, sorry if anyone's eating right now.
Yeah, it's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Oh, we're used to this kind of challenge here.
The pressure.
Gosh, I've never had a blister under the nail before. How did it come under there?
You should never Google these things, but of course we do. Yeah. And apparently, like, you can go and have like your nail drilled like through to like let the pressure. But I just managed to like lance them underneath, which was a bit painful. But I made sure, you know, I cleaned everything and, you know, didn't want to get infected. And then, yeah, I actually lost my big toenails, both of them, a couple of weeks ago. So ready for summer. Lovely sexy feet.
Yeah. Oh, you know Anna Rugg, who's also in our running club?
I know. Yeah,
she does really toe reconstruction. Yes, so you can always book her if you want.
I did think about messaging her.
Yeah, if you've got a wedding or anything to go to.
But yeah, I was really, really lucky, actually. I didn't change my shoes at all. I changed my socks about midway or just over midway, put some clean socks on, but my shoes were so sodden that as soon as I put them back on, obviously my feet were wet again. So in hindsight, maybe a second pair of shoes would have been better.
Yeah.
But again, because we were going through knee-high grass the whole time,
yeah,
the grass was wet, so they would have been soaked straight away anyway. So
yeah
I did pretty well, like with just those two blisters. So
that is really good.
Yeah, I felt really, really lucky.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm quite jealous of anyone who has just automatically good feet. Like Sabrina Virgie seems to have really indestructible feet.
I'm really lucky. She's just never really struggled.
I saw her feet after 268 miles across the Pennine Way, and she just had like a little blister on her toe. And, you know, they're a bit kind of like trench footy, but
yeah.
It was like, and that's mine after like 10 miles. I'm just like,
I hate you.
That's so unfair. And you also said on, I was just stalking you a little bit on Instagram, as we know, in your What You Learned, you also said, well, that ties in quite nicely about following the man and go through the bog thing. You said your map reading needs improving.
Yeah, definitely.
So were you using a GPX, were you?
Yeah. So I had, you know, GPX on my watch, which I had used before. And my watch is, you know, it's a Garmin. It's, you know, it's kind of middle of the range, nothing special. I'd done a 50-mile race using it before. And that was the only other time I'd actually used it for, like, self-navigation. And I'd got lost a few times, but I'd done it and it was okay. So, obviously, it went off with the same idea to do the same again, not realizing that it didn't have enough. I don't really know. I'm not very good with technical stuff, but it didn't have like enough memory or something to take to do all the turning points.
Oh, okay.
So basically kind of what it did was just loaded. I was basically just following this line.
Yeah.
There was no other, you know, normally it tells you it beeps when to turn and stuff. But if I went wrong, it would just, the line would still be there, but my arrow would be like over here. It was really hard to fathom like how to get back on the right track.
Because there wasn't any like actual map. It was just line, a breadcrumb trail. Yeah, that's why I don't really use them. I'm like, unless you get one which is all singing or dancing, then how long is that going to last?
I was really lucky because about 3 or 4 times I would like overtake someone and then like a few minutes later I'd hear them like whistle like, woo!
That's what the whistle's for.
People helped me out. People really helped me out, which was lovely. But I think these people were like, she's never going to get to the end. They're going to be rescuing me. But luckily, I met my husband at like mile 12 or something. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this in the dark? Because this is daytime and I'm getting lost. I had OS Maps on my phone. So I kept getting that out. And I did have a hard copy. You know, I had all bases covered. But I'm just not, I need to learn to read a map a bit better because I was kind of doing it. It was taking me time, stressing me out. Luckily, then at mile 20, my husband met me again with his watch and he had downloaded and his watch was an all singing, all dancing one. So I could literally, it was almost like a map on the watch. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. So from then on, then like stress levels came down and yeah, I could actually follow it until it ran out of battery for the last 12 miles. But like I said, it was basically a straight line for like the last 12 miles and I had my map in my bag, so I was fine. I made it. Number one, I still haven't got a new watch, but that is on my, it's my birthday this weekend. So that's on my birthday list.
Excellent. I hope Robin is listening to this.
just to eat a bit more, which I never thought I'd have a problem with. But you know, when you're tired, you just forget and I'll be fine. I've eaten all this, rah, rah, rah. So yeah, to eat more. I think I definitely, because I probably lost about an hour with the whole navigation issues because I kept going the wrong way.
How long did that take you?
27.
Oh wow.
27 hours. 27 hours, I think. I was second female, but there were only 3 females. I would like to just point that out. But
I was second female. You were still second female.
And the first female was only an hour and a half in front of me, which really makes me cross because. Yeah, if I hadn't gone wrong so much and I'd eaten something, I know that you know, I could have done that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to get first female unless it's a very, very small field.
Got to be in it to win it.
So it's nice though because I it was my first one and I was kind of just using it as a experiment, if you like. So yeah. I learned some things and I definitely know what I can do to be better, which is exciting. So.
That is awesome. Oh, you've done so well. You're very, very motivating. I especially like as well how you don't put just the good stuff. Like I tend to just put the good stuff on Instagram. You also put the bad stuff on Instagram. And I'm there like scrolling through and I'm like, there's ups, there's down, there's up. And I was like, oh, this is so good. This is like so refreshing. This is so realistic. And
I try and do that.
Whereas I really struggle to put those times on Instagram because I feel like I'm moaning and I have a really privileged life. And I basically don't want anyone to know. Don't want anyone to know that I don't always feel great. So I really admire people who can do that.
It's important because otherwise, you know, so often I think about like coming off Instagram because I'm like, it's all fake.
Yeah,
And quite often you'll be scrolling through and then you feel bad about yourself because you're like, oh, look at their like matching outfits or their clean house or their holiday or whatever. And I just think, no, like you need to know that actually, you know, 5 seconds before that photo was taken, you know, this was happening, they were kicking off or whatever. So I just try and be really honest. And I know sometimes I worry that I'll come across like moaning when, like you say, like we're in a privileged position, etc. But let's just be real, like, you know, being a mum, a parent, not even a mum, you know, being a parent, bloody hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And sometimes it's good to moan, isn't it? It's good to just say, like, oh my God, they did this today. Oh, you know, it's just good to get it out there and share. So I try and, I just try and be really honest.
Yeah.
good and the bad and the ugly sometimes.
Yeah, well, I was especially struck by this one post that you wrote where, oh yes, it was a couple of weeks ago when Audrey was having a sleep regression, and you know, like, probably it sounds like you were in the thick of what I feel like I'm in now.
Yeah,
and you were just questioning your life's choices, like, should you have even had a child? And okay. I'm constantly saying like that, but it was kind of a shock to read it somewhere else, because I felt like, oh, it's only me that thinks that.
Well, that's it, because you know, sometimes you have these thoughts and then you think, it can't just be me, like, surely, like, and also sometimes it's about putting it out there and then someone saying, I feel like that too, because then you're like, oh thank god.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, in the post I think I was just saying, like, when I was up from 2 till 4 in the morning with Audrey screaming in my ear, and you know, my husband's still asleep in the next room, and I'm just thinking, what have I done?
Oh, like, I wish Steve would sleep.
Have I done?
Yeah.
You know, and you do get a few dark thoughts, like, oh, imagine, like, if I wasn't a mother right now, where would I be in my life? But you can't live your life like that. But now and again, you get those little dark thoughts. And yeah, I was just putting it out there to say, you know, I did, that's what happened last night. Feeling much better this morning, but it's normal. And if you're feeling the same, then please someone be feeling the same. It's all that kind of thing, you know.
I definitely feel the same.
You're not alone. So yeah, that's kind of what that's about.
Yeah, well, I'm very impressed at Robin sleeping through the screeching, because we both wake up. we have actually talked about getting a camper van, a really old one that we don't insure and we don't put any petrol in, and putting it on the drive so that just one of us can get a good night's sleep and we can alternate getting a good night's sleep, because at the moment both of us wake up and then neither of us get a good night's sleep. It's just very hard. But I am feeling very inspired by your chat, and I will do 20 minutes of strength and conditioning. I'm not going to necessarily have a big weight, but I might fill a backpack with some tins or some, like, so the cat food that the cat doesn't like. So like, fill a backpack with tins and just keep it, because at the moment I'm like, oh, I've got to fill my backpack again and I'm going to take it out again. I need to get Steve's backpack that he never uses, fill that with some tins and just do some squats and lunges with that backpack on.
It makes it so much easier. Like, we've got, like, I'm literally staring at, like, a corner of our house.
Yeah.
That is just full of, there's yoga mat, there's weights on the floor, there's resistance bands, and it looks like a mess, but it's there. So when I come down in the morning, like, 10 minutes quick, let's go, grab them, off we go. It just makes it, it's just about making it as easy and
easy as possible. I think I also struggle with, like, am I doing the right thing, and therefore will it be worth it? But of course, doing something is always better than nothing.
That's
so
it,
I really anything need to change that mindset.
You've got to turn that around. Of course, if you're training for a specific thing, you need to have that specificity. I can never say that word.
Specificity. Specificity.
Thank you.
Specificity. I can't say it either.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
But at the same time, you know, be kind to yourself. Just move. Movement is, you know, so, you know, it's amazing. You don't have, it doesn't have to be a particular way. You know, just get some movement in, and it, you know, good for physical, but really, really beneficial for mental health as well.
Yeah, so. And you feel smug as well after you've done it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I like doing it in the morning as well, because I'm like, well, yes, I've already done it.
Yeah, done my strength today. Yes, no, I love doing exercise in the morning as well. Absolutely, that's usually me. I go down to Euphoria in Stamford. So I drop fitness. We go to Holly's class. Da 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 da. Done. Yeah. Back at work for 10 o'clock in the morning. No lunch break to make up for it. And yeah, that works really well. But today I just couldn't face it and I went back to bed and I slept for 2 hours and then I woke up to do this.
So that's it. Sometimes that happens.
Yes, just happens a little bit too often, and I'm just really aware that it's only 7 weeks until the Lakeland 50, so I'm just going to be going around on fumes, basically on legacy training. That's what I'll be going around on. But if I could do 20 minutes today, I'll feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Oh, thanks, Melissa. That's been great. So I have got some quick fire questions just to finish up on. For eating on a race, I think you've already answered this one on the way around, so we could answer this for you, but flapjack or gels?
Oh, flapjack, definitely. Like, yeah, I can't. Gels, just, well, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I hate gels as well. Apart from Morton gels, I really like Morton gels. They're the only gels I can actually stomach, but they're really, really expensive.
Yeah.
After a race, would you celebrate with beer or wine?
Do you know what? I like them both. I might have one of each. Do you know what? I love cider, actually. I'd have a cider.
A curveball.
I'd have a cider. Yeah. Love a cider, especially in the summertime. Maybe a cider in the summertime and a red wine in the winter.
Oh, lovely. Maybe a mulled wine even in the winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, lovely. Love that choice. Are you a Kindle person or a real book person?
Real book. This is going to sound really odd, but I just love the smell.
Yeah, no, that's not odd at all. Yeah.
I have just started listening. I've listened to two books on Audible, actually,
yeah,
which I'd never done before. And my husband recommended it for races. And I thought, no way, like I won't be able to concentrate. But actually, my mind has been changed. So I might start doing that a little bit more so that because I listen to podcasts and music on my runs. But actually, it'd be quite nice to, you know, even listen to a whole book. You could do a whole book on a, you know, on a 100-miler, couldn't you? So
maybe
that's the way forward.
Yeah, kill two birds with one stone. Yeah. I'm always thinking that because I don't really have time to like sit down and read.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Read a couple of chapters every night, but you don't get through it very quickly. So yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So music on your run or birdsong? Maybe a real book.
Music, definitely. Well, actually, when I'm training, always music, because I get quite bored. As much as I love running, I get bored, you know. But on an ultra, I like to soak up the atmosphere. So in the beginning part of the race, the first few hours, I don't have any music because I just like to take in my surroundings and kind of like get comfortable with my breathing and everything. But then, then the podcast or the music goes on, especially when I'm finding it tough. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to, you know, make contact. So I just zone out.
Yeah. Do you have do you have the bone phone type headphones?
Or no, I have inner ear ones, but and they were really expensive and I got them a couple of years ago. But next time I buy some, I will definitely get the bone conductors just because of like ear health, basically. Yeah.
And also like you can.
So
just
I use
them
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use them a lot, and I just think, actually, you know, that's not going to be good for me in the long run. So next time I do spend some money and get some, then there will be bone conductors.
Yeah. Have you got the little ones that stick in then?
They're just
the little buds.
Yeah, the little buds. I can't even remember what the make of them is, but they were quite pricey, but they're brilliant.
Yeah,
really good. Never fall out and really good sound quality. But I'm aware that they're not great for your ears. So.
Yeah, and also you just block everything out, don't you? Like
to run with if I'm like near a road, unless I'm like in the middle of nowhere on a trail. Yeah. I only have one in just to be safe. But when I'm on my own, totally in the middle of nowhere, they both go in, so I can just zone out.
Yeah. Ah. Okay. And art-wise, are you classical art or modern art?
I think modern, yeah. My husband and I are like chalk and cheese, so he likes classical. Yeah, I'd say modern.
Definitely. Yeah. I like a bit of modern myself too. Camping or a holiday cottage?
I love camping. Do you really love camping? I think camping slightly over the cottage. It depends how many days. A couple of days camping and then maybe into the cottage for a bit of comfort.
for a bit of a shower. Seaside run or mountain run?
Mountain run, yeah. And I want to do more of that. I don't do a lot of it. We don't get away to, you know, the Peak District or anywhere like that. And I've never even been to Lake District, which is just simple. I know, I really need to go.
Wow. Yes,
I love the Peak District. Like we used to go quite a lot, but we haven't been recently. But love getting mountains.
Oh, maybe a race in the Peak District and Jim Robin could climb a little mountain or like Mam Tor. Something. Oh my goodness, she could climb her first little mountain. That would be so cute. Oh, that sounds lovely. And the final quick question is tea or tree, as in t-shirt or tree?
I've been trying to do the tree more so recently, but then every now and again, like if it's a big race, you know, something that I'm really proud of, then I go for the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this race didn't have a t-shirt, so I didn't get one. But yeah, they had a lovely wooden, like eco-friendly medal, was good. It was basically like a piece of a log that they had like sawed through and then just stamped their logo on it. It was very eco-friendly. But yeah, trying not to get the t-shirt unless they're really nice.
Yeah.
I really want to show off what I've done.
I think if you're going to wear the t-shirt, then get the t-shirt. But I think it's when people don't, you're not given the choice.
They just pile up.
They just pile up. And like, I've got a t-shirt beanbag there that my mum's made for me out of all my old race t-shirts because I've just got to get through wearing all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, well, I've just read out this comment from Severine. She says, can we get Mel to do some live classes?
So it sounds that great. Would be good, wouldn't
do you,
it?
Do you do Zoom?
Patron only.
Yeah, do you do Zoom classes? Because I would go to a Zoom class of yours in
I
my
don't
own home.
At the moment. During COVID, I did it a lot because obviously there was no other way.
Yeah.
At the moment, I don't, just because I'm so busy with like my one-to-one PTing and my running coaching that I physically don't have any like slots in my week. But it's always something that I think about, and I quite often think about maybe in the future doing like something specific, like a class specifically for runners, like some conditioning class.
I would love to do that.
That would like be quite good for like our running club and things like that.
So, definitely.
Like watch this space, you know, in the future. Audrey's off to school in September, so I'll have a little bit more time. I'm already kind of thinking of a few ideas.
Plotting. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, it would be great if you would do a running version on Zoom, because not only can you do it on Zoom like live, but then you can do
it later.
Recording and you can do it later, a bit like Carlo Molinaro sort of does.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But I would totally sign up for that. You could, I suppose you could always do it, you know, like at Stanford Yoga, they have the live class, like people come to the class and they have someone doing it on Zoom.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then they record it and someone can do it later as well. So you get like a really big gamut of people and times. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but doing it on Zoom, you don't have to book a class and stuff. So but you don't have to book a room or anything.
Yeah,
and no one
has
to go anywhere. So that sounds great. Yeah. So, yes, we just planned your future career for you then.
Thank you.
But thank you so much, Mel. It's just really kind of you to share all your advice and information. So everybody follow Mel on Instagram for the highs and the lows of ultra running. I've put a link in my film description below, but just remind us of your Instagram handle again.
Yes, it is Mama Mel Fitness.
Mama Mel Fitness. Yes. So I've put a link in the film description below to that and the podcast show notes as well. And we wish you all the best for Race
Thank
to the
you.
Stones. I'm sure you'll smash it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys.
See you.
Bye.